This is the WOKV Spotlight on 104.5 WOKV.
11 past 9 on the Tuesday edition of Jacksonville's Morning News. Rich Jones, Sydney Mark, and Christine Bellino and Benjamin Fridkus live on location at the LJD, Jewish Family and Community Services. And we are amidst just so many stories. It feels odd to be set up for a live broadcast with these faces that are kind of looking toward us. We're doing a radio show, hoping to do our level best to try to illuminate the histories in hand and some of the stories and some of the personal objects and the stories they carry from family members who are connected to the Holocaust. I hope we're doing them justice, but it feels kind of odd, doesn't it, that these beautiful faces and these items and personal legacies are just kind of staring at us.
I know that when we came here earlier, it was a big concern of mine to be respectful but not overly somber. And I think when we talked to Lewis, that was one of the things that he had said that hit me, was that one of the reasons why he's doing this is to give hope to the future. Mm. And so that for me was one of the more, you know, enlightening parts of this exhibit.
So. Well, so much of this exhibit is about educating and continuing to carry the story forward generation to generation to generation. And Melissa Williams is the Holocaust educator here at LJD, Jewish Family and Community Services. And my goodness, talk about an educational journey that we're on. It's not like you're going through a multi-floor exhibition in Washington, D.C. or in Israel. It is, in some ways, and I hate to use the word simple, but simple enough, and yet so complex and so memorable. Why is this so important for the education of Holocaust, of the Holocaust here in our community?
Well, this exhibit makes the topic very relatable to people because everybody has a story, everybody has an object. So if you think about your own life and what would I take with me if I had 5 minutes to leave my house, what would I take? And that's an exercise that we use when people come in. We have them kind of think that through, and it just amplifies the importance of these objects. They hold a lot of weight, they hold history, they hold family memories, people. There's just so much to it, and it's something that you can relate to the history at the time, but also to what's going on now in our world and how we can help each other.
We spoke earlier with the curator of this exhibit, and obviously it's a team effort here. How did you all put this idea together, and what are your goals for it? You know, in some ways you create a program with an institution, and the goals are getting people through, making money, that kind of thing. I think the goals are totally different in this circumstance.
Absolutely. We have a whole Holocaust education program, so this is just one part of it. We have, behind me is the Holocaust Memorial. That's a permanent fixture, excuse me, and the exhibit around it rotates yearly. And when we take our exhibits down, we make them into traveling exhibits that go out into the community, out into schools. We have a speakers bureau that goes out into the community, goes out into schools. They tell their personal histories. It's very different than reading a book or watching a documentary. It's about having a conversation with somebody, and there's just no better way to relay the information than through storytelling. So this is just another way that we can tell these stories. So we have groups that come in, and then for those that can't, we go out into the community, but it's just another part of our overall program, which we call Resist Hate, Repair the World.
What a tremendous way to be able to share these experiences by being able to talk with the people who are actually directly involved. That is a tremendous resource. What are some of the reactions that you've seen from some of the people who've come in?
It's incredible. The impact, it's one of these things where you can see the impact in front of your eyes. I don't think there's many instances like that. But it's, again, it's the word I used before was relatable, and I think that's what it is. You can connect with it. So people really understand the information and the history on a deeper level.
How connected is this community to wanting to have the conversation and wanting to be educated about the Holocaust? How has that evolved over the last 5 years that you've been here? Has there been an increased demand for that?
Absolutely. We have repeat customers, if you want to call them customers, but we have, you know, everywhere that we've gone to speak, we usually are asked back the following year. And then people just through conversation find out about us and through other other ways, but yes, it's getting bigger and bigger. Last year, I think the first year we maybe spoke to around 3,000 people. Last year it was over 10,000.
Wow. Has the war in Gaza and the attack by Hamas, has that only increased the interest in wanting to learn and wanting to learn the complexities of the history in any way?
I don't know the answer to that. I can say that that has definitely amplified the need for this type of education. I don't know that that might be the reason that it has increased, but it's definitely a reason that people need to be educated.
You know, and as I look around the room, I'm looking at generations that would be Gen X, millennial, maybe a Z, maybe a couple of Z's around here, and these are
be
the
careful.
Generations that I'm that's why I said Gen X. No cuspers or anything like that. But we have multiple, but as you look through the walls of this great facility, I'm sure we've got boomers who are, you know, active and working here. That's four generations, and each generation may know the Holocaust story in a different way. That's why your role and what you're doing is so vital to the community, because my kids in middle school and elementary school are going to learn it in a totally different way than I may have learned it. And this is just one way to tie it in.
That's right, yeah. And I mean, you made a great point. We have people in our speakers group, one that is a Holocaust survivor. He's the only one that still goes out and speaks. We have second generation survivors and third generation survivors. And it's been asked to me before, is it as effective to hear from a third generation survivor? It's a little more removed. I can tell you 100% it is hugely impactful. And it's interesting because their grandparents told them the story, and I think that just enough time had passed that they felt more comfortable talking about it. Maybe with their own children, they wanted to protect them. They wanted their lives to be perfect. They didn't want it to be, you know, tarnished by this horrible history. And then when their grandkids came along, they had an easier time talking about it. So sometimes the grandchildren actually know more of the story than the children of the survivors.
I thought that was interesting because when we were talking with two people earlier, both had said that their parents really didn't tell them the stories. It was their grandparents who told them the stories.
Right.
What are the objects that are sticking out to you? I mean, you work here, but like, do you still stop? I mean, this exhibit's been here for a handful of months now, but do you stop and look at one?
I like them all. And I know all of these people, and I know their stories so deeply that I can connect with every single object in here. I think the one that I would say is the wooden spoon from Mali, and only because I love to bake and I love to cook, and I have my grandmother's wooden spoon, so I can really relate to it. But I think they're all, I can't say that one is better than the other. They're all amazing.
What is the wooden spoon story?
So it's Molly's grandmother's spoon that she was a baker and she used it every day. And now Molly has a spoon and she uses it every day. So it's just, you know, something she's actually using. Some of these objects are put away. They're, you know, like you can see like Lewis's candlesticks. They're perfectly shined. They're beautiful. I think he uses them sometimes, but not all the time. And so this spoon is something that Molly uses every day to remember her grandmother.
And yet Helen's locket is not something that she looks at or touches every day. It's in a jewelry box, but she has written the story for her grandchildren, who are just too young at this point maybe to understand it. But when she is gone, there will be an opportunity for them to learn the story. So every individual has kind of embraced using the items, these personal collections, in so many different ways. How can an individual, how can a school group, a church group, a Girl Scout group, I mean, how can community groups get involved and try to educate themselves and be a part of this?
Oh, people are welcome to come in you can come for a self-guided tour. I recommend a docent-led tour. And we're open from 8:30 to 5 o'clock, Monday through Friday. We do sometimes do a weekend tour here and there, but usually it's during the weekdays. And they can find us at resisthatejax.org. Lots more information, and I would be the person to contact.
And it's $9 million a tour, right?
That's right. It goes right to my bank account.
It's absolutely 100% free.
I think that's the really neat thing, is that it's totally free to attend, and yet you can fill your cup worth of knowledge that you probably can't put a price tag on, which I think is really important. Yeah. The resist hate thing, yeah, I think that's an important point because we, and we were actually talking off the air because we have a number of organizations in our community. I think it shows the depths of the Jewish community here, but the Jewish Community Alliance is partnering with the YMCA, and they do the conversations in the community and the resist hate movement overall. That's one where, despite being differing organizations, I think collectively, I would imagine you all are coming together to enhance the education. In what ways are you doing that?
I think, you know, we all support each other. We all, I'm just trying to think of exactly how in the Holocaust education arena that we come together. And I guess the programs that you're talking about would, because when we're teaching about the Holocaust, we're teaching about a time in history that led, it's what where hate can lead, you know? And so those panels you're talking about are all about supporting each other and standing in solidarity together to resist that type of hate.
Yeah, and remembering
We are today versus where the history is, because history can repeat itself. I'm sorry.
Right, and remembering and the importance of that for the younger generation so that this does not happen again.
Yeah. Exactly.
The locket still gets me every day. I'm looking at Helen's locket right there because that's the only memory that she has of family members whom she never met. These are incredibly impactful stories, and you can find them here at the LJD Jewish Family and Community Services. Melissa, I want to ask a few more questions about part of the education outreach and the Holocaust education programs that are available and maybe will become available into the future in just a few minutes. 9:22 on this Tuesday edition of Jacksonville's Morning News, live on location this Tuesday on 104.5 WOKV News Time, 9:23. Thanks so much for hanging out with Jacksonville's Morning News. Rich Jones, Christine Polino, Benjamin Fridkus, Sydney Mark. We're live at the LJD Jewish Family and Community Services. And just an incredibly moving experience, the Histories in Hand exhibit. Melissa Williams is the Holocaust educator here at JFCS. And beyond this exhibit, as we were talking about just a few minutes ago, there are many other ways that you're involved in the community to help to teach the Holocaust. In what other ways are you in the community, and how might this exhibit kind of catapult into the community after it's done in the summertime?
Yes, so all of our exhibits that are in our gallery, once they come down, they're turned into a traveling exhibit. So we take our traveling exhibits out into the community, out into schools. We've been to libraries, churches, really anywhere we're asked. They're very easy to set up and take down, so we can put them anywhere. We have many other resources that can help for teachers. We have teacher trainings throughout the year. We have teaching trunks, which contain age-appropriate Florida standards-based lessons, materials from first grade through 12th grade. And then our Speakers Bureau, which I think we talked about a little bit before, but that's my favorite resource that we have, where our speakers go out and tell their family stories. They've honed their stories in about 20-minute talks with PowerPoint presentations that go along with them, and then the most important part is the conversation at the end, and that's where you can see the light bulbs going off. The kids get to ask questions, and you know, because you can read a book, but then you just have the given facts. So when you hear the story, then you can ask more questions, and you get more of the story. So it becomes a very impactful, very relatable experience.
Literally bringing history to life.
Absolutely. It's like having a living piece of history standing right in front of you.
How in the education piece are you having to answer to skepticism and or some of the, I guess, the nuance of people just rejecting the idea of the Holocaust? But are you experiencing that? And how in the education piece are you working to ensure the true facts of history?
Right. Well, it's interesting. We haven't experienced it that often, but we do. The one survivor who still goes out and speaks, when we go into a school, parents have to sign an opt-in permission slip for their kids to attend. And we had one parent that, you know, signed that my child, you know, is not going to be able to come. And she didn't just leave it at that. She went into a paragraph long of why, because the Holocaust never happened, and on and on. So that when our survivor went, the teacher gave him the slip, and he carries it around with him. And that's what motivates him to keep talking. And the big part of it is, though, these hate groups, the people who say that the Holocaust never happened, it's a very small group of people. They can seem very loud, but it is a very small group. And so if the rest of us can stand together and learn the truth and stand in solidarity, then that's where we can really make some changes in the world.
And know that there are resources out there that can help to tell the truth. He still carries that around every day.
He does, yes.
Wow, what a motivator.
And how long ago did that happen?
This was, I would say, about 5 years ago.
Wow.
So how can people get in touch with you? Go ahead and put out any information that you want. If I'm a school group, a church group, an individual, I'm thinking about, like, we have a work staff of about 80 at our radio stations collectively. And, you know, how might we be able to bring a group here and or bring you to us to learn more?
Yes, you can find us at resisthatejax.org, and all the information you need is there. There's a sign up section where you can sign up, and very easy. As you said, all of our resources are free, and so our job is to make it as easy on teachers, as easy on anybody who would like to hear from us.
Making it free is not easy, and it's not cheap either. So donors are important. I would think state and local funding. How exactly does all that come together to ensure that you can continue to make it free to the community?
So for our program, it is all donor based. So yes, we definitely, as we grow, it's important to have that.
Yeah, and so it's important for you to learn more about the resources that are available in your community, literally just off Phillips Highway, Bay Center. Visit the Jewish Family and Community Services or head to JacksonvilleHolocaustMemorial.com, and you can learn more about Histories in Hand, the exhibit of the Frisch Family Holocaust Memorial Gallery. And Melissa Williams, the Holocaust educator, thank you for educating us this morning. We appreciate and value your time and service to the community.
Thank you so much for
being
here.
Thanks for doing this. It's 9:32 on the Tuesday edition of Jacksonville's Morning News.